This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Week 11 in the NFL. We will be talking Cavs later, I promise. But it is week 11 in the NFL. And it is that time of week we go around the AFC North. Remember, all guests appear on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. And we have three of them in this segment, starting with Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Where, Bob, I'm sure you've heard this clip, but I want everybody else to hear this clip. This is Mike Tomlin in his media availability being asked about Deontay Johnson.
Be honest with you, I hadn't thought a lot about it. He's not on a lot of their video, and so, you know, at this stage of the week, I don't know that I've weighed, you know, what he might mean to the matchup. They got more significant pieces with larger roles that are occupying my attention at this part of the week.
Is this bulletin board material, Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, as they get set to play the Pittsburgh Steelers in Pittsburgh on Sunday at 1 o'clock? Go.
Possibly, but he ain't wrong. I mean, the Ravens had this premier offense that's been generating points left and right, and he, Deontay Johnson, in two games, has contributed very little to that offensive output. Now, is it something maybe to motivate him in a battle for first place on Sunday at the place he used to call home? Perhaps, but I don't think Todd Monken's going to devise a game plan to make Deontay Johnson this secret weapon because, as Mike Tomlin said, Ravens have a lot of other pieces he needs to be concerned with here.
Bob, is it true that not only is this the best offense Harbaugh has had in Baltimore, it's also the worst defense?
I think that that might be an accurate statement. I mean, the offense is great. I mean, we see it every week. Question is, and the narrative here is, all right, this is all awesome. We've seen this before. What's going to happen in January? What's going to happen in late January? What's going to happen at Arrowhead if you have to face the Chiefs again? That's what everyone's talking about when it comes to the greatness of Lamar and the offense. Let's see it when the games matter. The defense stinks. And the pass defense in particular has been atrocious. And they may have hit rock bottom last week against Cincinnati. Burrow's thrown, what, 9 touchdown passes against the Ravens this year. Now, they've lost both games because their defense isn't exactly the 85 Bears. But the secondary has been brutal. Nate Wiggins is going to get a more prominent role because Brandon Stevens has been, he's been absolutely terrible. Marcus Williams has already been benched, and he got smoked last Thursday against Cincinnati. The pass rush, yeah, they got these big fancy sack numbers, but it could disappear for long stretches. Worst defense of the Harbaugh era? I think we might be onto something here.
Is Mike McDonald the biggest loss for you guys then? Because Zach Orr seems to be coming under a lot of heat. Well, you're ranked 27th in total defense there?
Yeah, 32nd against the pass. Woo. Yeah, McDonald leaving. I mean, what was he supposed to do? Decline a head coaching opportunity?
No, obviously. But remember, I always say it, Bob, I always say this because we make a big deal about Bill Callahan being gone. And I go, hey, you're going to lose these guys at some point. It's who do you replace them with? That's the key.
Right. And the talking point here is, all right, McDonald leaves. Thank you for what you did, and good luck in Seattle. But they also let Denard Wilson leave to Tennessee, who the last time I checked, which was 2 days ago, they had the number one defense yardage-wise in the NFL. They let Anthony Weaver leave. He went to Miami, and the Dolphins' defense, we saw them the other night against the Rams, didn't give up a touchdown. So not only did you lose McDonald, you bypassed two maybe more qualified guys and replaced them with Zach Orr. And when they split, you brought in inexperienced people to replace them. So McDonald leaving was huge, but also losing a couple more. Dean Pease was brought in 3 weeks ago as an air quotes analyst, and he hasn't really had much of an impact so far.
Do they just want Dean Pease to take over?
Maybe he is the de facto defensive coordinator as it is. And you see John Harbaugh standing next to Zach Orr a lot more often than he used to hang around with Wink Martindale and with Mike McDonald and others. Others would be in the coach's box, but you get the point.
We know about Dean Pease, but this Dean, never mind. Hello, Bob, and we thank you very much for the time. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. As the Ravens get set to head to Pittsburgh 1 p.m. on Sunday, we'll talk to Chris Muller from Pittsburgh coming up in just a moment. But first, we welcome in Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as they are at L.A. Sunday night, 8:20 p.m. That Ravens loss on Thursday, is that a backbreaker for the season, Mo?
I don't know if it's the backbreaker. It's one of the straws that would break the camel's back, if you want to go that route. I think the backbreaker would be on Sunday night. I think it ended whatever hopes anybody might have had of the Bengals jumping into the AFC North title race. That ship has now sailed, and so I think what we have spent the last couple of days doing is handicapping the race for the seventh seed and wondering if the Bengals can go to Los Angeles and beat the Chargers is the sixth seed in play, because they're not winning the division. They're probably not going to catch whichever team finishes second in this division. And so it's really about the Bengals versus Denver and Indy and the Bengals versus the L.A. Chargers, and whether or not nine wins would get them in if they can win a tiebreaker against L.A., if they can win a tiebreaker against the Denver Broncos. I think we stop talking about those things entirely if they take a loss on Sunday night.
Is there a win total that Zach Taylor needs to get to preserve his job?
I don't know that there is a specific win total. I think if things totally fell apart and we're talking about the Bengals finishing with, you know, five wins or something like that, you know, then I think they're going to have some discussions. We've talked before, guys. You know, after Zach's second season, they kept him, but they talked about moving on. They weighed the pros and cons. I think his job status was a little bit more tenuous than a lot of people realize or would like to admit. I think the interesting dynamic, though, is what they may do in the front office, because, you know, Mike Brown holds the title of general manager. Man's closing it on 90. The guy who is the de facto general manager is Duke Tobin. I think if you want to look at the reasons why this hasn't worked out this year, to me, it's more about roster construction than anything. They whiffed in free agency this offseason. None of the guys they brought in have made much of an impact. They've drafted poorly on defense. You know, they've gotten the obvious picks right. Got Joe Burrow right. I could have done that. Got Ja'Marr Chase right. I could have done that. Where they haven't had much success is drafting on defense using, you know, mid-round picks, even some of the early-round picks they've drafted on defense. And to me, you know, you point the finger at the front office, and it's also some of the decisions they've made in terms of players who have moved on. You know, Zach Taylor probably wanted to keep Jesse Bates. Front office didn't decide to keep him. You know, they moved on from Joe Mixon. They've let Chidobe Awuzie, their top corner, go, and they really haven't replaced any of those guys with players who are suitable replacements or upgrades.
Well, hasn't somebody talked to Mike Brown? Because, I mean, you mentioned he's in his 90s, for crying out loud, or closing in on it. Has anybody talked to him about, hey, like, maybe you need some more forward-thinking people to be a part of this organization? Because Joe Burrow's only going to have a few years. Like, could they use, like, Greg Cook as an example? Like, hey, man, you're only going to get these guys for so long, and these guys can be gone before you know it.
Greg Cook or Carson Palmer, right?
That too,
a
yeah.
Quarterback who just got to a point where he said, look, I'm going to leave money on the table, and I'd rather retire than play for you unless you make upgrades. I think that always sort of hangs in the background when you talk about this franchise. Look, they've updated themselves rather dramatically from the Bengals that we all grew used to in the 90s and early 2000s. But in terms of scouting, in terms of just overall philosophy, are they the most modern franchise in the NFL? By no stretch of the imagination. And I always thought it was going to take Joe Burrow either getting injured and missing an extended amount of time or going away for the cracks in this team's foundations to be revealed. What's pretty interesting is Joe is having his best season, leads the league in a bunch of different categories, having a career year across the board, played terrifically, if that's a word, on Thursday night, and yet they're 4-6. And so what has happened is he has been awesome. Jamar Chase has been awesome. Trey Hendrickson has been awesome. And yet you've seen all the cracks in the foundation start to get revealed. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they get fixed and what happens this offseason if the season continues to go the way it has been.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati as the Bengals get set to head to L.A. to take on the Chargers at 8:20 p.m. on Sunday night. We now welcome in Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh as they face Cincinnati at 1 p.m. on Sunday. Chris, question I forgot to ask the other two, so I'm going to ask you. Do you believe that the Browns have talent?
Yes.
Whoa! No, go ahead there. Chris, why?
I mean, Garrett's still one of the best defensive players in the league. I do think they've done a good job of drafting like some solid pieces. Although I saw what happened with Jedrick Wills. I thought that guy would be good. That was a miss. They've drafted like individually good players over the years, like a good amount of them, right? But so much of that in the NFL doesn't matter if you don't have the quarterback situation figured out. It's just, it almost feels not unfair, but like it's just funny. You can have a team that is deficient in a lot of areas, like where I would just say Mo Egger was on. The Bengals defense sucks. And I know they're 4-6, so it's not like a perfect example, but they're always in the game because they have Burrow and because they have Chase. And specifically, Burrow is going to make them dangerous against any opponent because he's awesome. You can have a roster, and the Steelers, I think, have had this at times in recent years where there's a pretty good number of players dotted all over it that are good to very good to excellent. And if you don't have the trigger man that's actually making people feel confident, that's actually making big plays when the game is on the line, then none of it really means much. So that's how I would answer the Browns. The Browns just feel like they're in purgatory till they get out from under this Watson situation and then actually find a guy to play quarterback, which is easier said than done.
Boy, speaking to exactly what you just said about quarterback play elevating talent, I mean, George Pickens seems like many fans were ready to run him out of town. Earlier in the year, they were pointing to the videotape of him not completing plays, having a bad attitude. And now is that script completely flipped?
Yes, because they have a quarterback who appears to be playing like he's 20 years old or 28 years old in the prime of his battle, Russell Wilson. They're getting Pickens the ball. Like, he doesn't care if he's got to make like a ridiculous tough catch where the ball was either on the wrong shoulder or he turned the wrong way, and then he just kind of went Superman mode in midair and caught that touchdown. He does weird stuff like jump stiff arms for you would think no reason, but then I'm watching the film back. He catches that slant and he does everything right to get whatever 20 extra yards on that play. He's happy. He's like most wide receivers in that. All the stuff about is he competitive, does he care, is he going to try hard, goes away if he's getting the ball, and then suddenly you have a monster on your hands in a good way.
Did you and Punny discuss whether or not Mike Tomlin actually gave the Ravens bulletin board material because of the Diontae Johnson comments or lack thereof?
We did. It was, man, I'll tell you what, you know this about Punny. He's probably the single biggest anti-Mike Tomlin guy over the last several years, maybe in the United States.
He's also a big gambler, and Mike Tomlin has the best odds for Coach of the Year right now.
I know that he's got the best odds. I don't know if they win the division and go something like 14-3, I do think you have to give him I think you've got to get the division if you're Mike Tomlin to get that award. But the bulletin board thing, what was weird about it? The only Steelers person Pony has probably been more angry at consistently over the last few years than Tomlin is Diontae Johnson. And so he actually liked the bulletin board material part, which, by the way, I think it was. Tomlin can usually, like, if he wants to put lipstick on a situation in one of those press conferences where maybe a guy isn't very good, but he used to be a Steeler and Tomlin has never had an issue with him, he'll say something nice. The fact that he just told it like it was with Johnson, which is, what, he's their sixth option right now on offense, is his way of throwing a little dart in his direction.
Russell Wilson, are you thinking anything long-term with him with the Pittsburgh Steelers right now?
I have to start thinking that way. I mean, you have to consider it. Not like super seriously because it's been three games, but even against Washington, I think a good team in their building, he only completes 50% of his passes. They put up 28 points. Like, you understand, right, how starved we have been for instant offense in this town for years, really. Even dating back to the last year or two of Roethlisberger's career where he just wasn't the player that he was previous to that. Wilson's 35, will be 36. I don't want to do anything. If this goes great the rest of the way, I don't want to do any kind of deal that's longer than 3 years, but what else do they have? The offense is just obviously better than it was under Justin Fields, and there's no guarantee Justin Fields ever gets to that certain place. You have to start considering it if you're the Steelers, just because where else are you going to turn right now?
I totally agree. Chris, we thank you very much for the time. Chris Mueller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, part of the great triumvirate that is around the AFC North. Bob Haney, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, and Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati. There are insiders who like follow back, like we follow back each other, and they send me like their pieces, like basketball, football, even a couple of baseball. And they DM it to me, and I'm going, guys, I don't really check my DMs a whole lot. I don't. So like people will send me like, you didn't get my DM. I'm like, well, I'm sure I got it. I don't check the DMs. Just don't do it. And there have been a couple, I've been like, hey, this is good stuff. We would have liked to have had you on. Here's my number. Meaning I'm much more available through text messages. Facebook, I told you before, Facebook messages, I can't really get to a whole bunch. I've gotten a little bit better, but not really that much better because I've had so many Facebook friends get hacked. And so it's just like, you won't believe who died. Guess who has this picture of you? And I'm like, well, I can't click on that or I'm going to get hacked. So I just ignored it altogether. DMs, almost the same thing. I just don't like, because sometimes I leave the work computer open. People send me crazy stuff, don't want to do. But it's weird because I'm like, I send you my number and I assume I'm going to get a text. They don't send me their number. They don't text me. I'm like, do you just want to use me to put out your jargon, your conversation about the Browns, Cavs, or every now and then?
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And then the Guardians, is that it? Or am I just being used in this case by some of these
folks?
Wait,
I don't understand. They ask for your phone number, but they never text you?
They don't ask for my phone number. I go, listen, you've DM'd this to me. I'm sorry I didn't see it. It's been like, in one case, it was like 3 months. And I'm like, I'm sorry I didn't see it. I missed your DM. In the future, here's my number. And I send them my number. They will DM me back. They won't text me back. And I'm going, do I need your number that badly? I'm giving you my number.
Yeah.
Maybe and I'm more than welcome to help you.
Yeah, maybe they feel DMs is the same. It's the same as having a cell phone number.
It's not for me. Like, can you get DMs on your phone? Like, does it like message right to your phone?
It depends how your notifications are set up. Yeah, you can definitely have your notifications set up to have
DMs
appear right on your home screen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Not with me.
But you would never do that if you're like cheating on your girlfriend or your wife. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want him showing up because then your wife or your girlfriend could see him.
You accusing me of cheating on my wife?
Not at all. I'm saying there are there are definitely people that
have
had that issue.
You wouldn't want to do that.
So I mean, mine
come right to my do yours.
So my behavior is on somebody is the same as somebody who would run around into their wife.
I don't know. I'm only speaking for me.
You've been working out more in the tanning bed?
No, I've not. You know who has been? Keith. Because that's what you do.
Whoa.
You just move that right on the side.
That's finally a meeting I want to be
you
there
can
for.
Check, you can check the DMs. You can check the messages. Ain't got nothing to hide, officer, so come on in. More Cavs coming up here shortly. The most important person on the Pittsburgh Steelers is who? You're going to pick a player. I'm going to say it's Mike Tomlin.
Oh, I probably would have said T.J. Watt.
Okay, well,
but yeah, okay. Tomlin's pretty damn important.
I think Tomlin's obviously pretty important. Now, you are a Tomlin fan. I'm a Tomlin fan. I hate the Steelers. I hate them, and every Steeler fan knows it, and they love it that I hate the Steelers, and the Steelers are so good right now, and the Browns are so bad. I thought about this yesterday. Mike Tomlin encompasses everything that I don't trust about Paul DiPodesta. Mike Tomlin. He's coach of the year, number one right now. Highest odds for coach of the year in the NFL. Mike Tomlin. He's been the head coach for 18 seasons, 19 seasons. I've lost count by now. I'm sorry. He is a guy that often finds himself at the crosshairs, a pony in Pittsburgh, which ponies embarrassed himself numerous times and will do it again. What does Mike Tomlin do so well that I've always admired him for? I do. I admire him. I don't hate him personally. I just hate the team that he coaches. It's sports hate. He does whatever it takes to win. He will find a way to do whatever it takes to win. There are so many things that they do that I go, boy, that looks like a trap, or this doesn't look like it's going to work, or, man, I don't know if I'd take out Justin Fields. If we're winning games, why would I want to take out my starting quarterback? But they find ways, and they do it. I've never has it been 10 years with DiPodesta?
Yeah.
It's been 10 years. I have never felt that they will do whatever it takes to win. One time I felt they've done whatever it takes to win, and that was last season during the Flacco run. I think that they said, you know what? This is where our window is. Damn the torpedoes. We don't have a first-round draft pick this year. Let's go ahead and let it ride. I think in other years, I've told you this, they are more than willing to win the way they want to win, the way that they believe they can win. Their operations, then, hey, you know what? If we got to run the ball 40 times like they did against Washington, if we got to run the ball 40 times to win, we're going to run the ball 40 times to win.
So like, are you saying that is in the roster building or who's going to be active 1 week to another?
It's
be the fact that they didn't bench Deshaun Watson quicker?
No, it's not even just that. It's not even just that. I mean, some of it is, but it's top down, Anthony. It encompasses everything. It's not just roster construction. Roster construction, whatever. I mean, the Steelers have taken knuckleheads and have been able to find ways to win with them, and then all of a sudden they really go off to knucklehead land after they're gone. Yeah, especially at the wide receiver position. But I see a team in Pittsburgh. I see a team like Baltimore that, I mean, they let wins slip right through their fingers, but they're still willing to do what it takes to win those ball games. And when I see the Browns over the last decade, they've been more successful at times. But there's been so many games, I think a Browns fan is left scratching their head going, why did we do that? Why did we do this, that, and the other? Why did we do these things? And then there's people go, well, you don't understand football. Well, I understand football enough to see what the Steelers are willing to do every year where they don't finish under 500. They never have under Mike Tomlin. They're always a viable team for the playoffs, it seems. They find a way to make quarterbacks as viable as they possibly can. But here I am over here going, well, we have to do this order operation and that order operation. And if we can't, well, we'll just lose the ball games and that's it. Because it's always some higher level of thinking. And then I think over it. Were we one of the first teams to the quote-unquote analytical point of view? Weren't we?
Yes.
The Browns.
Yes.
It's not a thought where I am anti-analytics. Far from it.
All the teams in the league are doing it now.
I am pro-analytics. Pro. Underline it. Pro analytics. I'm a supporter of analytics. But it seems that a lot of the other teams in the NFL have just taken our mistakes, let us make the mistakes, and then rectified those mistakes with their own teams. Like, you still need to have emotional people. Football's an emotional game. Paul DiPodesta comes from baseball. It's an everyday cerebral game where you can't get too high and too low. Football, you work your ass off all week for one moment, for a three-hour window at the end of the week, it can be an emotional, painstaking time. And Mike Tomlin gets that. There are a lot of other coaches. Sean McVay, who's as smart as they get and as young as they get, he gets that. I think top down, I've wondered, and this is not the first time, and I don't know if it'll be the last, but Tone, I've told you a million times, I wonder if top down they get that. It's always been, well, we'll win it, and we'll win it our way, and we have to do things this way. You remember that. Well, years before, 2021, I told you, man, it looks like they're going to just win it their way, and if they can't, they're not going to win that ball game. And I see these other teams, I go, this is what I don't trust, because you can learn from the win. 16-14, look at Andy Reid, 16-14 on Sunday. Found a way to win. And by the way, beat a coach who, I just don't like the guy. There's just a thing. I'm not a fan of Sean Payton. I can't give you a reason. Finding ways to keep the Denver Broncos in ball games. We're going, they're saddled with how much of a cap hit because of Russell Wilson?
This was their teardown year.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, finding ways to stay in ball games and win ball games, and we're over here going, well, I guess we have to bring around the Pythagorean theorem and try to figure out different ways. Just go out and win the damn ball game.
Boy, that's interesting. Because both looking at Pittsburgh and in this situation,
yeah.
I'd even throw the Chargers in there too.
Last year,
These teams, this was supposed to be the huge contention window year for the Browns.
Yes.
Those teams we all mentioned are in the process down or starting their rebuild. They have all better records
than
us.
And you look at last year. When I read that he was out, Watson was out for the rest of the year, I was sick. I go, oh my God, this season's going to go to hell. They're going to get fired. I mean, I was sick as a dog that Wednesday. You almost had to carry me out of it because I was so disgusted in what I felt was going to happen. And what did they do? They played with their asses on fire, and they let it all hang out, and they did whatever they could to win. And what did they do? They won football games. But all throughout these years with Paul DiModesta, well, if we don't do it this way, and if we don't do it that way, it's just not going to get done. That's why I think that Browns fans are so frustrated with him. One, I never know what to blame him on. I never know really what to give him credit for. Two, it just seems to be some grand experiment while other teams take what we've done and find ways to win with it. And find ways to make the adjustments here and there, because I'd rather learn from the wins and figure out the wins than have to sit there and go, yeah, you know, we won five games in 20-odd whatever, but we learned this from it, and we did this. Like, where's the emotion to it? Where is the culture of it? It's always been a flimsy thing. You can't treat it like an office, because those teams, they're emotional as hell with the Rams. They're emotional as hell with Kansas City and Pittsburgh. Where's ours?
Yeah, Tomlin, maybe that's a reason why he's got the most wins as an underdog.
Yeah.
He's got the best record both just straight up and against the spread as an underdog. Like, he has a way to get him up. But yet, in Pittsburgh, all they're talking about, he hasn't won a playoff game in 10 years.
One legend says he's going to step in if the wrong team drafts his quarterback. Who's that legend, Tone? Who's his quarterback, Tone?
I believe it's somebody that we have been talking about on our podcast many, many months now.
And what's their names, Tone?
Deion Sanders. Sanders.
Survey says...
Yeah, but I'm not going to do it publicly. I'll do it privately.
So you said you're going to be dad. You're going to be dad.
Dad, if the cows come home.
He's going to step in if the wrong team drafts his quarterback, which is his son, Shador Sanders.
Yeah, he wouldn't talk about the team or the region. They kept pressing him on, like, where, though? Where? What region? And he's like, no. He's like, it has to do with organization. It has to do with someone who could be tasked with being able to coach a player of my son's ability.
Oh, you guys think it's nuts now? You won't know nothing about nuts. He is playing this as well as anybody. First off, congratulations to his Buffaloes. A lot of people thought that they'd be at death's door. And I wrote him off too, and they've done a fantastic job. Second of all, he's playing this perfectly. You know who would give him all the power in the world? Jerry Jones. You know who would give him all the power in the world? Jimmy Haslam. You know who would give him all the power in the world? Maybe the New York Giants. I mean, all these teams are as desperate as it gets. He ain't going to say that his son is going to play, not going to play for these teams. No. No. Deion wants an advanced role. He has done well at the FCS level. He has done well now at the FBS level somewhat, but mostly, yeah. He wants to do well at the next level, and he wants a seat at the table. And any one of these owners, I mean, the Maras and the Tishes have been lost for years. Jimmy, we know, will get any type of quarterback he can possibly get. He's obsessed with him, and so is Jera. And this guy is looking at going, this is an opportunity. I ain't going to say anything to anybody, but I'm going to step in. I'm going to step in. Think about all the possibilities that he could have with different quarterbacks in different places. Playing it like a fox. However, Albert Breer was on Afternoon Drive yesterday. He says, doesn't seem to seem like there's a top 10 QB in this draft class.
You know, as I've started to ask around about next year's draft, it sounds pretty bleak at the top. There may not be a quarterback worthy of going in the top 10. Carson Beck hasn't played well. I mean, Shedeur Sanders is a tad limited physically, and there are obviously questions about what's around him. You know, Quinn Ewers, is he just a guy? I think some people feel that way. I don't think Cam Ward suddenly become like a high first round pick after, you know, being a sixth or seventh rounder coming into the year. So it doesn't look like it's the best year to have a high pick in the draft anyway. This feels a little bit to me like the 22 quarterback draft, where that was Kenny Pickett and Sam Howell and Desmond Ridder and those guys. You know, like, I think that's sort of where we're at.
That might be enough to stop you, and that might be enough to stop a lot of fans out there. Do you think it's enough to stop the Browns?
No, I don't think.
Do you think it's enough to stop a lot of NFL teams?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh was desperate for a quarterback when they took Kenny Pickett, but they convinced themselves that he was good enough. All the stuff about him being around the facility, you can always find a reason. You can always find a reason to fall in love with these guys because it's not a science. We know every year there's going to be guys that are supposed to be really good that are total busts. And then there's always a few diamond in the roughs. Yes, these guys are all going to get overdrafted too. Shedeur Sanders is interesting because everybody's watching him, and yet he's still hanging around, right? He's still making some of the best plays you've seen all year. Breer talks about him being limited. He's 6'2". He's slight. He's not Deion, like, in the open field. That's not him. People might just see the last names.
Well, let me ask you this.
And see him on the same team with Deion coaching. That is not him. He is not a runner.
What I don't like, and I'm getting a little bit defensive of Shedeur Sanders here, because at the beginning I'm like, well, I don't know if they're going to go after Shedeur Sanders or anybody's going to go after him. He holds the ball for a very long period of time. He takes big hits, and he did. But I'll tell you what, he still holds on to the ball a little bit longer than I'd like him to, but he seems gutsy, like you said, which is one intangible. But you know what? All I heard about before the season was Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter, Travis Hunter. He only has Travis Hunter. He's only going to throw the ball to Travis Hunter. Now, all of a sudden, did you hear what Albert Breer just said? Well, what he has around him. What does he have around him? Because I didn't hear about Jimmy Horn very much before the season started from any of the national pundits. Yeah, I didn't hear about these guys like Will Shepard before any of the national pundits said anything. Now, all of a sudden, I'm hearing about some of these players. I'm hearing a lot about Jimmy Horn. Well, wait a minute. Did Jimmy Horn make Shedeur Sanders, or did he make Jimmy Horn? Which one? Because we all knew about Travis Hunter. We know how good Travis Hunter is. We've known that for 4 years. But who created who? Because isn't that what you want your quarterback to do, is create weapons that people know about, the general public knows about? Because I listen to a hell of a lot of talk about college football, and only recently have I been hearing about Jimmy Horn. That's got to go into Shedeur Sanders' camp at some point.
I'll tell you what I've been impressed with. I don't think anybody, and this, a lot of it's self-inflicted too, and it's from him and his dad. I don't think anybody has been able to deliver under this type of pressure. The pressure that, remember, I mean, he's out there, and this might be why a lot of people are not into this whole experience, but he's out there blowing kisses to the fans. He's out there throwing other kids under the bus on social media. But
that ball boy.
With Texas Tech. And with everybody that despises him, wants him to fail, I feel like he's stepped up. I feel like that's almost driven him in a way. So, yes, self-administered pressure and hatred, but at the same time, he's performing.
Everything as a Browns fan over the last umpteen years tells me to avoid him because of what the Browns' history has been. But then I watch him on Saturday and I go, I cannot discount him.
He is so fun. He's going to be a first-round pick. He's going to be, what, top 15?
Probably.
Right? And who knows? By the time we get there, depending on how he finishes the season, you know, all these guys, they're always overdrafted, though. That's just the way this works forever. So I get what Breer is saying, but are you guaranteeing that none of the quarterbacks in this draft can turn a team around? Because I can't go there yet. There's no way I could go there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.